big boy.
Genuine smile and presenting it to her as if it were a trophy. Her elastic face sprung open in surprise. She received it like a baby, holding it to her chest before placing it down on the bed and exiting the room to get two glasses. There on the bed, it looked strange, too skinny, too definite, like one of Bruegel's Christs. Christ as a man baby, prematurely aged. A wise and world-worn newborn with the knowledge of its own death. She returned with two mismatched glasses, a tall glass well-suited for water or juice, but somehow out of its depth with anything more complex. The other was a short glass with a non-agonal base that seemed smaller than it should, shrunken in fright, or left in the kitchen too long, forgetting what size it should be. That was the feeling in hand, too. The wrong size, the wrong weight, though the right shape or the right form. Just not for here. Not for now. She slid the bottle out of the box and inspected the label with approving shakes of her head before unzipping the metal foil on the cap and removing the cork stopper. She poured two generous measures, filling each glass halfway and handing the small one to him. It felt diminished in his hand, or was it that he felt larger today? Emboldened would be the best way to describe his attitude. emboldened by intimacy, but more, emboldened by having had the courage to act in the first place. As if courage were self-creating like a minting press. Now he felt like a millionaire. She placed the box beside the bed, Strange lying there like a discarded garment disappearing amongst all the other idle objects, hushed under a blanket of amnesia. So much effort put into designing this display case to lure buyers who could turn their care off at the flick of a switch. The bottle of body, all made for the hand, like the bodies of others. We are made for each other, hands to hold, body parts to rub, mouths to gorge. They clinked glasses and set to drinking, she on the bed, he in the faded armchair, sagging with the weight of past occupants who still appeared to lend their presence. Experiences the chair seemed unwilling to forget or move on from. She had made some attempts at making the room livable, covering up the most naked patch of carpet in front of the full-length mirror, and by the desk, where years of restless thinking feed had worried away at the man-made fibers until the problem of their stitches had been almost completely solved, or they were no longer a problem. In front of the mirror was an ornate Turkish rug, small, almost like a prayer mat, beautifully crafted with a symmetrical pattern that faltered in one corner, like a beautiful face offset by a mole or a scar that draws the face back down to the earthly realm and is more beautiful for it. He refilled their glasses as she recounted her day, a frenzy of encounters back and forth across the city. They sent soft smiles across the room, warming with the effect of the alcohol that had spread down his spine like a sprouting of new feathers. Things were going well. Talking the whole time, she went from bed to desk to bookcase to wardrobe to window, sketching out the schema of her daily life with a light touch. Though he didn't have much to share, self-reflection wasn't a daily habit for him. He could listen and respond. That, he thought, was what she wanted or appreciated. Women had often told him that he was a good listener, a sensitive listener, that they could tell he was intelligent by the way he took his time to respond, thinking before he spoke, that it was refreshing to meet someone who wasn't afraid of silence. But that always got lost along the way as the silence slowly refilled with monsters. The patterns to this journey were so predictable, so reliable, you could print a timetable for it. Wearing her bathrobe as an overcoat, she climbed through the sash window onto the roof of the floor below. He looked in her direction, but all he could see was himself in the reflection, and behind the glass, the steady yellow light from the street lamp and the small, glowing point of her cigarette that surged each time contact was made, only to fade like a firefly. "Just realized," she said as she climbed back into the room with a slight electric charge to her speech. "I've just realized that I don't need a partner." It took him a moment to register what she was saying. "Sorry, I didn't think that was what was going to leave my mouth. I didn't know that that was what I was going to say, but I think it might be true." After a long pause, he shook his head and said, "No. This is the wrong ending. This isn't how it's meant to end."